Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 20 of A Year-Long Conversation. Today's episode is going to be about what can we expect in the general election now that we pretty much have our nominees, and also going back to the past, why did nobody predict that Trump would be the nominee, even though all the signs were there? Michael, can you believe we're at episode 20 already?
Man, these episodes are just flying by. I'm not looking forward to it being over. We've almost reached our halfway point.
I know. If the presidential race drags to a crawl, these episodes are just getting faster and faster.
Yeah, I guess that's the good thing when you have great co-hosts.
Usually every fifth episode we like to do prognosticating, and in episode 5, I mean, we look to like how many states each candidate will win and which states they'll win and who will be the nominees, who they'll choose for their VP. In episode 10, we looked at their path to the nomination. Now that we're in episode 20, we pretty much know who the nominees are going to be. So when I was like, how are we going to prognosticate? I mean, what's left to prognosticate? I think we'll look at what they're going to do to reach the general election, how they're going to like go about their different campaigns. I want to go back to the past a little bit and kind of go back. It'll be future and past, and look at why is the media just shocked? Like, I feel like they still can't believe it. They're still like, no, Ted Cruz is going to get in at the last minute, and Paul Ryan, he's going to come at the convention. They're still talking about it like there's a chance he won't be the nominee, and they just can't accept it. I feel like they led us astray, and that's why we didn't pick him to be the nominee way back in episode 5, even though all the signs were there. It felt like believed so strongly that it would be somebody besides him that it got us to drink their Kool-Aid.
I think it was the Kool-Aid why I didn't pick him. I think that it was just sheer terror, absolutely unwavering denial that I was going through. That's why I didn't pick him.
Speaking of denial, Mr. Bill Kristol could be the fucking poster kid for denial. It said last week, Bill Kristol had a meeting with Mitt Romney about running as a third-party candidate. I thought, oh my God, these people, like these old-time neocon Bush people, they just can't believe it. The whole Bush family is going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
Karl Rove might kill himself. I mean, this is the first presidential race in his lifetime that he hadn't had like a real dog in the fight. You know, Karl Rove's like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, how do I just have idle hands during a presidential race? I mean, what do you think Karl Rove's going to do? All these people who have put their whole lives on manipulating the results and scheming, and then they have no good options.
I have no idea what he's going to do. I'm still convinced that somebody is going to jump back in.
I mean, they just can't believe it's going to be Trump and Hillary. They're just sitting there thinking, like, why can they not believe it? Like, these have been the candidates for over a year.
Yeah.
I mean, for about a year, they've been the candidates. It's from the minute Trump actually got in the race, he led the field. I mean, he's been running the table, running the board for pretty much the entire, almost a year that he's been in the race. Like when Bill Kristol is sitting around talking about, you know what, boo, we're going to get Romney and Rubio, and we're going to, I feel like he's Hitler in Downfall when Hitler's in the bunker and he's moving pieces on a board of an army that doesn't exist anymore. Like half of the troops have been wiped out and he still thinks that they're troops and he's moving them around. It's like Forrest Gump playing chess or something. I mean, the game's over. You've lost. I did see Bill Kristol on Real Time with Bill Maher. Like Bill asked him, he goes, well, if it's Trump versus Hillary, who are you going to be? He goes, I'm going to back a conservative third party candidate. He goes, if it's Trump versus Hillary, he goes, I'm going to back. And he wouldn't accept that it could be Trump. He wouldn't accept that Trump was going to be the nominee. He wouldn't accept that a third-party candidate. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're going to get one of the guys who was not popular enough to beat Trump in the first place, and you're going to put him in a general election where he'll get killed. They couldn't even beat Trump in the first place. A guy like Rubio, you're just bringing out all the people who failed to beat him in the Republican primary, and you're putting him in a general election audience where they're going to be probably less popular. The only even remotely credible third-party candidate we've heard about this entire race was Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
And this was kind of the argument he was making, that it would be impossible for a third party. And he ran through his reasons of why he didn't run. And he kind of, he said if it was Sanders versus Trump, the gamble would be worth it because he'd think either one of them, Hillary started winning more and more states and it looked like, oh no, it's going to be Hillary. It's not worth it and be too much work. And I wouldn't even be on about half of the state ballots. So, I mean, how can you really become president when you're not on about half the ballots? So,
right.
Because it would go to Congress, and I don't think Congress is going to pick an independent. I mean, they might, but I doubt it. So,
I don't know, though.
I mean, if it's Sanders versus Trump, which is not going to be.
They could.
Well, that was Bloomberg's logic, was if it's Sanders versus Trump. I mean, because his whole logic was the reason an independent can't become president was because if you had three candidates, none of them would reach the Electoral College vote.
Yeah.
And you would have basically, like, Congress would have to pick. And, of course, political party systems, the way they're set up, they're not going to pick an independent. But he said if you had Trump and Sanders, they were unpopular enough in their own party that you might have somebody like Bloomberg get in there. He's a calculating guy. He did all the numbers, all the math, 18 different ways. But he said if it's me, Sanders, and Trump, the answer is like a slim maybe, there's an outside chance, but if it's me and Clinton and Trump, it's Clinton. And there's no reason that it shouldn't be. But I still read these articles about, Paul Ryan's going to be a third party. I thought the fucking Speaker of the House for the Republican Party, you think he's going to run as a third party? I mean, like, are you crazy?
The guy that's already come out and given a speech saying, I am not running for president. I will not be the Republican nominee.
Well, plus, I feel like this really shows you, when people talk about that inside the bubble mentality, Washington, D.C. has, and the media has, there's a convergence of these two types with the media pundits. So somebody like Bill Kristol, he's in the Washington, D.C. bubble and the New York media bubble. I think all these people, to them, it's like, Paul Ryan. And I'm like, 90% of America does not even fucking know who Paul Ryan is. Like, he was Mitt Romney's running mate. And if you who was Mitt Romney's running mate? Sarah Palin. I mean, yeah. They would not even remember. This guy was so boring. He made Mitt Romney look interesting. I felt like when Mitt Romney picked Paul Ryan, I thought, is he looking for a guy to make him look like the life of the party? I'm like, you picked a younger, worse version of yourself to be your running mate. I feel like the majority of America, if you ask them who Mitt Romney's running mate was, they wouldn't remember. And if you ask them who Paul Ryan is, they'd say, isn't he Ron Paul's son or Ron Paul? I mean, they would get him mixed up. I don't even think they know who he is.
No, I don't either. He's just a very forgettable guy anyway. So.
Yeah, definitely. If you look at the complaints of a lot of Trump's fans, they have a lot of complaint. I mean, obviously, all the typical things, the racism, the xenophobia, all this stuff. But a big, big part of their complaint is Washington doesn't listen to us, and the media doesn't listen to us, and they don't respect us, and they're not hearing what we're saying. And I feel like if you had Trump as the nominee and they took a Washington, D.C., like, Speaker of the House and said, we're running him, and the Republican Party is going to support him as a third party, I feel like that could make the Trump people's case, like, nothing is making their case easier than the Republican Party. So,
yeah.
But it is kind of funny, though. Somebody mentioned that, like, this will be the first time, like, the presidential race is not really divided along ex-presidents. Clinton and Jimmy Carter and Obama, they're all going to be for Hillary. And the two Bushes, they're not going to be for anybody. So it's like you've got a presidential candidate who doesn't have any presidents for him. Ex-presidents or current presidents, like, nobody's for this guy who's actually had the job he's auditioning for.
Right.
That's pretty rare to find, like, all five of the people who have had that job are like, no, we don't want that guy. He shouldn't be president.
As a voter, that should tell you something about, you know, what kind of what's going on with this election.
Trump, when we get into the future part of this race, this guy, I mean, he's a professional jackass. I mean, every day he does something, like, you think he can't be any worse. You've had me laughing a lot talking about how Trump, now he's trying to be more professional. It's even worse. Like, back when he was a loose cannon and a rogue, it made more sense. And then now that he's professional Trump, it's like even worse, because it just shows you he can't do it.
Yeah, it's so funny listening to him now, because he's trying to sound like President Trump, and he's saying the exact same things, but he's just saying it at a softer, lower tone. I mean, rather than being like, our military's, he's like, we're losing. We're not winning with our military. We're not winning with this. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to make America great again. We're going to start winning. And it's like, he doesn't comprehend. It's not his tone. It's his message. That's what people are saying isn't presidential. Especially like him coming out and saying, like, Barack Obama is from Kenya. He is not American. I mean,
yeah, it kind of shows you that Trump has a really low opinion of the American people, and it also kind of shows you that that's accurate. Because on the one hand, he's basically just like, okay, I'll be diplomatic. Instead of saying Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK, I'll say it slow. Being more diplomatic and presidential with his insults by just saying them slower, like, it's so transparent, but on the other hand, it's working. Like, a lot of people are like, this new Trump, he just does stupid shit every day. In the last week, he got in a Twitter feud with Elizabeth Warren, which was hilarious.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He basically kept pointing out that thing about she pretended to be a Native American to get into college or whatever. He kept, like, hammering this point home. One of the tweets was like, Elizabeth Warren is another all talk, no action politician. I wonder if that's her Indian name. All talk, no action. And then he had a rally in West Virginia. He told them, he's like, yeah, you don't have to show up and vote for me. You don't have to worry about voting in the primary. You just show up for the general. And then the Republican Party of West Virginia was like, no, you idiot, don't say that, you know, because they still need, like, all these people to vote in the down ticket races. And you know when they probably told him that, Trump's like, down ticket? What the fuck is that? You know? I actually love him as the nominee because I think he's not going to lift a finger to help down ticket Republicans. Like, Rand Paul's going to be in an actually competitive race this time. And he took shots at Rand Paul and like, I think he's going to hurt a lot of Senate and traditional Republicans. And
I think
it's not just that he's going to hurt them with voters, but he's not going to help them with his own voters. Like, his own voters, he's basically telling them, like, make sure you vote for president. And he's not saying anything about, like, fellow Republicans. And I think even when he gets the nomination, people will say, like, he's going to have to, like, go out and campaign for the Republicans. I still think it's going to be the Trump show. Like, I don't think he's going to really care to help fellow Republicans. And literally, within, like, a day period, he gave a speech about how he wanted to unite the party. And the second Paul Ryan said, I'm not yet there to support Trump or whatever. He goes, Paul Ryan's a loser. He's going to unite the party. And then, like, a couple of hours after that, he's talking about the Speaker of the House has to get out of the way and all this stuff. I don't think it's in him to be a uniter, really. Like, I don't think he's capable of, like, all these petty grievances and all these things that happened during the campaign. I don't think he's going to be able to put those to the side. Like, I think he's going to remember. He's probably got a literal fucking list in his office of people who supported him, people who dissed him.
Yeah.
And I think he's not going to let that go.
Yeah, well, I was watching Wolf Blitzer had an interview with him last week. And he had asked him about potential vice presidential picks. And he was talking about some of what he was looking for in a vice president. And Wolf was like, well, what about some of the Republicans that you ran against? And he was like, some of them may possibly. And Wolf was like, well, even the ones who said bad things about you, he's like, well, I don't really like them. When they say bad things about me, I don't forget that. So probably not. He probably does have a literal list.
I remember early in the race, they asked him something about Kanye West or something, and he said, well, Kanye said nice things about me, and I like people who say nice things about me. Like, his whole rationale is basically like, I mean, it's really like he's in grade school. He's like, if people are nice to me, I'm nice to them. If they're saying bad things about me, look out. That's not really politics. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who make fun of you in the primary, and then you reach out to them. It goes both ways. He basically got the nomination, and we didn't hear people like Lindsey Graham or Jeb Bush. None of these people were like, oh, good game. He won fair and square.
No.
They're basically like, no, we didn't get what we wanted. Fuck you. We're going home. I think it goes both ways. I mean, Trump, he is a petty egomaniac, but I think a lot of the neocons that have not gotten their way in terms of this nomination, their behavior sucks just as bad. I think it's all just a bunch of men who have a shitload of egos. I feel like the ego and all that is exactly the same. If they don't get what they want, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio was supposedly like his protege, like Jeb Bush was a mentor to Rubio, and yet Jeb apparently now won't even speak to Rubio. And I'm just like, Jeb, you never had a shot in hell in winning that nomination. And yet he thinks like Rubio sabotaged him and ruined it. I'm like, no, you sabotaged it for Rubio, not the other way around. And basically he won't even speak to him. They're on bad terms. Jeb's like, probably write me notes about Rubio and leave him in his locker. I mean, I'm just like, they're all the same. They're all talking about Trump as this petty egomaniac, which he is. But and Jeb Bush and Romney, they're insane. They don't get what they want, and they're going to pitch a fit about it.
Well, I mean, if he really wants to do something, I mean, he can simply just jump back in the race. I mean,
you know, when Cruz and Kasich dropped out, Jeb was like, it's my time to shine. And it shows Jeb, and he's like, he's going to get back in at the last minute. And then it would show him like walking in slow motion, and he trips or something. He busts his face, his glasses break on his nose. He's like, oh, God, Jeb. So when Ted Cruz, so he dropped out like last Tuesday, and we recorded like, not long after that, it was like a couple hours after he dropped out. I was going to post that on Wednesday, and we talked a little bit about Kasich, and then Kasich's ass comes and drops out on Wednesday, and I think, I couldn't believe it. Like, we had to basically go back and do it over again, because I couldn't believe that Kasich.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about this asshole? Because the whole time, Ted Cruz has been saying, I got to get Trump one-on-one. There's got to be a one-on-one race.
Yeah.
And Kasich's like, no, I'm going to stay to the convention. I'm here forever, you know. And then Ted Cruz drops out, and Kasich's like, oh, I should be the one to do a one-on-one race. And then Ted Cruz drops out, and like 12 hours later, Kasich's gone. Like, I mean, he don't even wait a full day. He don't even let one state vote without him.
Yeah.
He drops out like the next morning. He didn't even wait till that night. He's like, now let me get a cup of coffee and drop out. I'm just like, what do you make of this? I mean, it's almost like Kasich and Trump had struck some deal months ago or something, because it almost seems like if you weren't trying to help Trump get the nomination, you could have fooled me, because a lot of his actions are just bizarre. He wasn't like trying to help Trump, basically.
You could be right. I don't recall Kasich ever saying anything directly bad about Donald. And I mean, the way that he just stayed in the race forever, stealing votes from Cruz. If Donald comes out and says in a few months that John Kasich is his running mate, I think we figured out that this bill's been in for a while.
I would not be surprised if Kasich was chosen as his running mate, because Kasich the whole time he'd been like, it's going to be me and Trump and we got to get one. He's like a nerd that's hiding behind the captain of the football team to fight the bully, and then the captain of the football team goes home and he's like, runs out right by, he's like, man, I wish the captain of the football team weren't here. I would take you on. I'd beat your ass. He wasn't holding me back. And then the guy leaves and he's like, okay, gotta go. For months, he's been talking about me and Trump. Once we're alone, oh boy, I'm going to whoop him, you know. I mean, he's talking about, yeah, like, what everything he was going to do to Trump one-on-one, and he got the race he supposedly wanted. The second he got the race he supposedly wanted, he quits. Could not believe it. Ted Cruz was shocking when he quit after Indiana, but Kasich was, that was even more shocking. When he quit, I thought, why didn't you do this 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
But, you know, in the back of Kasich's mind, he's like, I was a runner-up to Trump, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's going to be thinking.
War by atrophy, I won. Because, I mean, I was laughing and cracking up on Kasich, thinking that, like, the second that Ted Cruz dropped out, Kasich was like, I got him all to myself. My master plan's falling into place. And then he's, like, in the Burger King parking lot to, like, his one fan being like, I just came here for the free coffee. He's like, we got him where we need him. So Stephen Colbert, he does this thing, the Hungry for Power games, where after every candidate leaves, he does, like, a little thing about them or whatever. Well, when Kasich and Cruz, he put them in the same episode. He did Kasich's in, like, 10 seconds and then moved on to Cruz.
Makes sense.
Perfect tribute to Kasich would be to ignore him completely. I mean, he died as he lived, ignored. I mean, when it comes to Cruz, I think Cruz dropped out because Trump was just shredding his favorability. Like, he was just tearing it to pieces, because in a week's time period, you had, like, a plurality, like, not a majority, but, like, a substantial number of Republican voters who thought Ted Cruz was Canadian. They thought he was the Zodiac Killer. They thought his dad killed JFK. I mean, they thought Ted had five mistresses. Like, a guy's not just a serial philanderer. He's not just paid for prostitutes. He's a serial killer. And this guy, I mean, it was like, it was amazing. If he'd have stayed in that race, Trump would have had us convinced to kidnap the Lindbergh baby. Two greatest unsolved mysteries in the last 50 years, the Zodiac Killer and who killed JFK. Ted Cruz was tied to both of them. I mean, it was amazing. Even like 6 weeks ago, Ted's favorability was actually, it's dog shit among like people like us and moderates and stuff, but among like conservatives and evangelicals, it was actually pretty high. And then when Trump was just lying Ted, and he was just working him like a boxer, you know, like Ali in his prime. And I mean, every single week, his numbers were just tanking, kind of how Ted brought it on himself, because it's like, oh, Ted's like, oh, my numbers are tanking. See what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring out Carly Fiorina, the ultimate unlucky charm. Carly Fiorina is like King Midas in reverse. Everything she touches turns to shit. I mean, she runs at HP. She runs Hewlett Packard in the ground. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, I did such a terrible job. I'm going to run for the Senate. She runs for Senate and she gets beat. She's like, oh, I'll run for president. She runs for president and gets beat. And Ted Cruz is like, oh, I'll choose her as my running mate. You know? Her name should be Failing Upwards Fiorina. I mean, what's next for her Failing Upwards? Is she going to be Queen of the Moon next week or something?
Yeah.
I'm going to be Queen of the Moon now that I've done such a great job fucking everything on Earth up. Have you ever seen somebody just constantly fuck up and get promoted every time
no,
they get fired?
No, not at all.
She's got some stone to talk about Hillary's not qualified to be president. The stuff she says about Hillary, you would think Fiorina's had a single success in her whole goddamn life. Hillary, she was 12 minutes too slow on Benghazi. I think we all know she's not fit to be president. Then right behind her, she sets her own campaign bus on fire or something. It's like, oh, well, that's no big deal. Although it did give us one good laugh when we saw Fiorina fall at that Ted Cruz rally.
Yeah.
I mean, think about everything that's happened to Ted in the last month. Not just those, I mean, I just laid out like 15 different conspiracy theories about him, but then he nominates Fiorina. She falls flat on her damn face. Like from start to finish, her vice presidential candidacy lasted 6 days. Not even a full week. And in that time period, we saw her fall flat on her face. We saw Ted Cruz elbow his wife. Like after he conceded, I think it's funny that he went right for his dad and not his wife. And as he's reaching right for his dad, he accidentally hits his wife and then elbows her in the face on accident. I mean, pretty staggering. Everybody says, well, Ted, he'll run again. He'll run in 2020 or 2024. Whenever he runs again, he'll definitely run again. Are you with me in that you're really hoping that this last month was so damaging that it really finishes Ted Cruz for good?
Yeah, I'm hoping. So, but you know, at the same time, I think that's wishful thinking. The way we talked about the whitewashing of Bush and several other Republican presidential, past presidents. I think the same will come with presidential candidates. You mentioned earlier, people are looking at Mitt Romney, and we saw how bad he was as a candidate. I mean, we saw how terribly he got beaten by Obama just 4 years ago, and they're already saying, oh, I wonder if Mitt Romney's going to run. Mitt Romney's going to beat Trump. Mitt Romney's our saving grace. And it's just ridiculous.
It's weird. It's a strange double sword because I feel like in a way we're more hard on politicians now because of,
yeah,
like, for example, Howard Dean. I mean, he yelled at one rally and he had to go away forever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Howard Dean's finished. And yeah, he became the head of the DNC, but like in terms of a presidential candidacy, nobody even mentioned him in 2008. Nobody would have even considered him. I mean, Al Gore, he got beat very narrowly in 2000, and I was surprised that in 2004, 2008, a lot of people did not really mention him to run again. In a way, we're getting to a stage where candidates, they're like any little thing, they die faster and then they never die because they keep being mentioned and running again. I mean, you know, look, Sarah Palin was like a novelty for like 6 weeks in 2008.
Yeah.
She's still there and she's still showing up and she still gets to give crazy meth hook speeches for Trump where she's just rattling off nonsense for 30 minutes. They lose their jobs a lot faster. Like with Rick Perry, yeah, Rick Perry is a terrible presidential candidate, but the fact that he screwed up on that one speech the last time he ran where he blanked out and he couldn't remember the three departments he wanted to cut.
Yeah.
This time when he ran, everybody's like, oh, we're not even going to talk about Rick Perry. That guy's an idiot. But yet, they still keep running. They get hired for stuff. So I don't know. And nobody really even thought Mike Huckabee had a chance this time.
Yeah.
It happens both ways. They're not going to get the job that they really want, but they're going to be able to run again. They're going to be in the news. They're going to keep showing up. I mean, even if Ted Cruz never runs for president again, and even if he loses his Senate seat, we're going to see him on Fox News for the rest of his life. Like, he's going to be interviewed,
yeah.
He's going to be in the media. Like, we'll see him till there'll never be a period where he just goes away and just doesn't come back. Like, we'll see him till he's 80 years old, if he lives that long. He looks like he's pretty sickly to me. Rubio looks like he's 20, and Cruz looks like he's 60, but no, they're both in their 40s. I couldn't believe it when I looked up their ages. I thought, Ted Cruz is 45, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous when you look at them side by side.
I mean, people put up pictures of Ted Cruz and Joseph McCarthy. The guy's been dead for 60 years, and he was like 60-something when he was doing all these accusations. And I mean, people put up Ted Cruz and Grandpa Munster, and they're like brothers. They're like twin brothers.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ted Cruz looks like a very old man. This will be our final obituary for him or whatever, but what do you think his, like, most embarrassing moment of this whole campaign was? What was the most unintentionally funny thing that happened to him?
All of the home videos or whatever it was that he released, thinking that it was going to make him look more like a family guy or down to earth, and it really just backfired in the media. They just took it and ran with it.
I know what you're talking about, because those videos, I mean, I'm like, wow, I'm not even sure Ted's own family's going to vote for him. I mean,
yeah.
It just made him look like a guy who's not even popular in his own house. Like, exactly what you said, where he really believed that he's like, oh, you mean everybody probably lives this way. Everybody probably has to arm wrestle their daughter into giving them a hug. I just always loved it whenever he would be, like, trying to get his daughter to interact with him, and she's probably like, who are you? I don't ever see you when you're not for president or something. And then his wife, whenever they would kiss, Ted would look at her, and she'd look at the camera, and she'd be like, oh, how long are they going to film us doing this? My favorite was when he was trying to insult Trump right after the sex scandal news broke, and he was like, Donald Trump may be a rat, but I have no desire to copulate with him. And I was like, the way he worded it was like, do you find rats attractive? I mean, like, well, he's a rat. Normally I get really horny when I'm around rats, but I mean, Donald, he didn't do it. I mean, it was the worst burn I've ever heard. I used to love watching Trump and Ted go back and forth because it was just like, Ted's burns towards Donald would usually backfire so bad it was worse than what Donald said about him. Like, it would just make you think, wow, that raises more questions than answers, frankly. But speaking of what a jackass Trump is, and really the main thing about what we had to look forward to in the rest of this campaign, what did you make of Trump's Cinco de Mayo tweet?
Oh, my God.
The dumbest. When I saw that, I couldn't believe it. I had to really look at his face to make sure that wasn't a comedian. I thought Daryl Hammond took that picture of him and like him as Trump on SNL and put it out there. I mean, when I saw that, I said, wait a minute, this is really Trump and this is really something he did. He really thought that would be like a great idea too. You know, he's like, oh man, this will win him over. Just for those that may not know what we're talking about, on Cinco de Mayo, Trump took a picture of himself. He's eating a taco bowl and he's giving the thumbs up and the picture says, taco, he's happy Cinco de Mayo taco bowls are the best from Trump Grill. and then he's like, I love Hispanics. And it was like, he really thought, you know, he posted a picture and he's like, well, I really can't stand the Masters, but you know what? This is a token gesture that this will win him over. I love how he thinks that he can insult Hispanics for like a year and then be like, oh, I'll eat a taco bowl and say I love them and that'll be enough. There's some
yeah.
people who go along with it. There's so many things wrong with that picture. You want to start off the dissection?
Yeah. Oh, gladly. I think if you really pay attention to the bowl, if you really look down at it, the thing is in pristine shape. Like, it has not been cut. Like, he has a little spoon sticking in it, but nothing has been eaten out of it. Like, you know, like, even though he's sitting there holding, taking a picture with it, you know, that thing probably went flying off the window right after that picture was taken. And he's like, give me a Trump steak.
He's probably like, this shit is disgusting, and wrecks it in the trash can. He's like, give me a steak. Yeah, I could totally see him. Give me a steak. I can see him saying it like deadpan too, like, give me a steak. And it's just like, yes, boss. And he looks out the window and just counts his money or something. They're bringing.
Yeah.
We've never seen Trump eat anything that's not like pure American food or
yeah.
steak or something. Seriously, doubt. I mean, I could see him being like, how are you going to win over Hispanic voters? Well, one time I went to a Taco Bell, so I think you know what's going on. But what I loved about it was the fact that, like, in the middle of Happy Cinco de Mayo and I Love Hispanics was the best taco bowls are at Trump Grill. So it's like even his pandering to Hispanics, it's got like an advertisement for his own,
yeah.
it's like a restaurant in one of his hotels. And
yeah.
It's an advertisement. It's almost like being like, hey, Hispanics, you like Taco Bowls? Come to Trump Grill and one of my towers.
Yeah. yeah.
It's shameless. Like, he's advertising in the middle of, like, some stupid I mean, I just can't believe it.
And, you know, probably the people who made that Taco Bowl is probably, like, some white dude.
First of all, some blogger called, like, the Trump Tower Grill, and they don't even make Taco Bowls. And so, like, basically, they called and asked him, and so when Trump's like, these are the best Taco Bowls, you had to go to, like, there's, like, a separate restaurant apart from the hotel that makes them. So he probably had to go to a different restaurant and bring that in. So it was like, you can't even get the item he's talking about at where he's talking about it.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, Taco Bowls are American food. And
yeah.
they actually got, it's like where, like, people think pizza's Italian, and it was started by an Italian-American. Taco Bowls are taco salads, which got started at Denny's. Like back
yeah.
in the 1980s, Denny's one of the most American restaurants there is. I love how Trump's like, what's the most edible piece of Mexican food I could possibly ship down my throat? Oh, a taco bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not even, it's a total American product. Like, most Mexicans would not even, probably have never eaten a taco bowl because it's not really something. I mean, it's a glorified taco salad in a shell, and isn't that perfect Trump? Pretends to appeal to Hispanics, and the food he's eating is American, and it's made at an American restaurant. Trump Grill is not a Mexican restaurant. It's made at an American restaurant that he owns, almost certainly by a white chef, and it's like he didn't even touch it. I'm like, you could not find. I just think about this on like every level. Like, he didn't go to a Mexican restaurant, and he didn't have like a plate of tacos. He's like, bring me something from one of my own restaurants that a white guy made that's not known for Mexican food, that's something that didn't even get started in America, and I'm not even going to eat it. I mean, it's all like backdoor insulting in almost every way. It's like, this is the most Mexican I could probably be in my life. And it's like, it doesn't even work at all.
I mean, he might as well just forget about voters. I mean, he
yeah.
is not going to win them.
Yeah. And somebody else pointed out that, like, this was even more bizarre. That, like, apparently he's eating the bowl on a stack of magazines, and one of the magazine pages, you can see, like, a small section where he's looking at, like, Marla Maples, his ex-wife, in a bikini. And so there's, like, this picture of her off to the side. I swear, people must have scrutinized this picture like the fuck is the Pruder film. People must
yeah.
have really looked at this picture for hours. I would have never seen it. Like, he was probably looking at that before they brought him that taco bowl and put it on top.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my God. You know, like, the second that they took that picture and he throws the taco bowl away, he's like, I'm going to throw this trash away and go ahead and get this trash out of here. The smell is going to disturb me as I jack off to my ex-wife as I look out the window or something. Trump. He's got a lot going on. It doesn't seem like any of his presidential. I feel like he wants to be president, but I feel like he doesn't want to learn anything about the office. Like, even when people, like, he just doesn't even seem curious about a lot of stuff. Like, you know, when people probably come into his office, they're like, okay, you need to study up on this. He's like, no, get out.
This goes back to him being an inexperienced politician. He may not think that he has to put in the work. I mean, look, he really didn't put in a lot of work, and he's won the nomination for the Republican Party, so... Maybe he's thinking that the general is going to be the same way.
Well, there's that great Obama quote where they asked Obama about Trump's nuclear policy, where he didn't know what the nuclear triad was, and he said that Japan and South Korea should have nuclear weapons. Afterwards, he said Saudi Arabia should have nuclear weapons, but I don't even
yeah.
think that's the scariest fucking thing that he's ever said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the most terrifying thing he's ever said. They could talk about that wall and all this stuff. Given Saudi Arabia nuclear weapons, the Saudi royal family may not be in power forever. If like an Arab Spring ever hit Saudi Arabia, it would be
yeah.
terrible. Think about where the majority of the 9/11 hijackers came from, Saudi Arabia. Think about
yeah.
the lyrics that go to all these different countries and they spread like radical Islam. If you ever had like a real coup in Saudi Arabia, I mean, it would be terrible. So if they had nuclear weapons, there's no doubt that that would be basically handing the weapons over to jihadists. I think that's probably the worst thing he's ever said, but there's that great Obama quote where Obama's like, well, whoever said that doesn't know much about our nuclear policy or world affairs or the world in general. He kept lowering it down bar by bar, then he just got to where, or the world in general. And you could tell it's all he knew to be like, are you fucking kid? Like, he probably looks at Trump and like, the guy who said I was a Kenyan for 8 years. This is the
yeah.
dude. I mean, like, I cannot believe that this is the guy that they came up with.
If Trump ends up winning the election on January 20th, Obama's going to be, he's going to like handcuff himself to the White House. They're like, nope, not leaving. I'm not letting this guy in.
People may not know this, but the nominees, they get like weekly security briefings from the intelligence
yeah.
agencies, the director of national intelligence. They may give them select briefings from the CIA or Homeland Security. This was started by Harry Truman because BTR did not loop him in on
yeah.
anything that they were doing.
Yeah.
So he didn't know about anything about the atomic bomb. So Harry Truman said, we need to do this. We need to have it to where like the nominees, they're going to get briefings from them. And they've been doing this since the 40s. And the director of national intelligence, they've said that he's really considering whether he's going to do that for Trump, because I mean, it's optional. It's not like a rule, but they don't have to do it. And the director
yeah.
is, he's given a lot of freedom about like how much he shares. They don't even have to share the same things. Like they can give Hillary one set of information and Trump another. I mean, like, I feel like they're going to give Hillary the real report and they'll give Trump, everything's great. Don't worry about it. They'll like, they'll give him a single
yeah.
sheet of paper and it'll be
yeah.
like, it'll be like an ISIS member having sex with a goat or something. He's like, I knew it. Those camel fuckers, those people out there. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like they're not going to give them the same information. Now, his will be a lot smaller file, I think.
Yeah. Trump's will have to do with, like, migratory flights of birds and, you know, like northern Greenland or something.
He'll get this. He's like, where's the juicy stuff? This is boring. I want to know about the weapons and the terrorists and stuff. So, I mean, I feel like, what if they gave Trump the full report and then Trump gets on Twitter and he's like, yeah, it turns out we're about to get Zazawa here, and he like moves or something, like so, like he gives away like an operation that they're about to get like, Zazawa
yeah.
here in Pakistan, and then he like escapes it. He's like, yeah, it turns out the ISIS commanders are here, 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 and here, and they all shift around before the drones can get them. I mean, I feel like he's the kind of guy who would tweet out terrorist locations and be like, you don't know what I know, here's what I know, Al-Shabaab's based here, and he like shows off or something. Like Elizabeth Warren's a loser, she didn't even know where ISIS is. I do. And then, of course, like,
yeah.
I know this is supposed to be the main topic, but it's going to have to be at the very end. I mean, in terms of the general election and what Hillary's going to do, what Trump's going to do, what do you think we're in store for? On the one hand, I'm really happy that he's the nominee because I think that
yeah.
it's going to be like, I think he's a gift to Democrats. Like, I don't think Democrats know what a gift he is yet. When all the Republicans, when they have their Never Trump movement and they were just so defeated, all the Democrats, they were just as depressed. Like, we can't believe this jackass is going to be. And I'm like, you don't understand what a gift he is yet.
Right.
Like, in episode 5, I said that Trump would be, he would come in second to Rubio. I said Rubio would get like 25 states and Trump would get 20 or something like that. And I was pretty spot on with Cruz. I said Cruz would get like, he won like 8 or 9 or 10. I said he'd come in third and he won about the number of states. And I said Jeb Bush, he would get 0 and he did. So, I mean, the only thing I really got wrong was Rubio. Like, I gave him way too many states, basically.
Yeah.
I think part of me didn't believe that Trump could be the nominee because that would just be exactly what I would want to happen. I never let myself dream that Hillary could face him. It seems like the Clintons made him in a laboratory for her to run against. Like, it seems like they couldn't have asked for a better candidate if they'd made one themselves.
Yeah.
They took every one of her strengths and said, well, whose weaknesses would match up perfectly with her strengths, and it's Trump. And they put it all out there. Maybe the Republican Party, I mean, we always think about them as being these calculating evil geniuses. Maybe they're slipping. Yeah. Maybe they're not what they were.
Well, I mean, they are all getting old, so.
Well, I pinched myself. I'm like, in 1 week, we had Ted Cruz drop out, and he's my arch nemesis. I hate him more than anybody. Ted Cruz dropped out. Trump was the nominee. Roy Moore got suspended, the Alabama Supreme Court Justice, who's, I think it's probably safe to call him the worst politician in Alabama. Like, I think, and that's saying something. There's a lot of competition for that job.
My coverage over here, like, wait a minute. What?
He's like, do they need me to recap my failures? I mean, are all my scandals not getting through to them? I mean, what's that? I mean, yeah, Mike Hubbard, if anybody wanted to say him, that would be, he would be a great choice. There's Bradley Byrne, there's Mike Hubbard, there's a lot of asshole politicians in Alabama, but I think Roy Moore's got to be the worst. But yeah, he got suspended this last week. What makes Roy Moore so awful? That they suspended him back when he was the Supreme Court, the Ten Commandments judge. He had that big, giant-ass, like, Ten Commandments thing in his courthouse. They said, take it down. He said, no. I mean, it was really pretty boring, the whole thing, you know, because I'm like, I mean, if you think about it, like, a guy basically decides to put up the Ten Commandments in his courthouse, and people want him to take it down, and he won't do it. And I'm just like, really? It's like a neighbor who's got a sprinkler system you don't like, and he refuses to, like somebody's got these gaudy, like, Christmas lights around the New Year's, like, hey, you just turn them down. No, I won't do it. I won't do it. It wasn't like a real ideological stance. It was over a decoration.
Yeah.
And then he ran for governor twice, and he got beat. For people who, they think Roy Moore represents Alabama, and they think, oh, well, he's the Supreme. I'm like, well, he ran for governor twice, and he got beat in a landslide. Like, he didn't even get close to being, and the last time he ran against Bentley, he placed fourth in that nomination. I feel like the Supreme Court was a job he could run for and actually get. He wanted to be governor, but too many people voted in the governor's race. And the judgeships races are usually a lot smaller. A lot fewer people really pay attention to those. And a lot of, they're usually more conservative than like the elected politicians. He got suspended because he's telling the probate judges, he's still asking them and telling them to refuse the marriage licenses for gay couples. I really hope he's gone for good this time. Like, when they basically get rid of him, I hope that he stays gone this time because he's just such an asshole. I mean, it's a guy who's a judge, but he wants to be governor. So he's constantly using the judgeship as an excuse to make some big political stance that absolutely does nothing for Alabama, but like, there's a lot of fines. Every time he does something like this, there's a lot of fines that Alabama gets.
I can't disagree with anything you said. I mean, he's been terrible for Alabama. I mean, he has been. I hope he's gone too, but I still put it, you know, Hubbard up there with him. So still don't know which
one. Well, here's why Roy Moore is, like, his exit statement was just classic Roy Moore. He's like, oh, they took the side of the transvestites and the homosexuals. And I mean, it was still like a guy who's stuck in the six. Like, it was still like a guy who thinks he thinks he can go out there and just say the word homosexual agenda and, like, everybody's going to be on his side. Like, he didn't bother to, like, try to talk about it from a legal perspective or a law perspective or try to go into his, like, he didn't even do what Antonin Scalia would have done, which is try to hide behind the Constitution. He just gave a full-out political speech where he's like, we can't let the transvestites and the homosexuals and all these people, these rebel rousers, we can't let them win. And I thought, that is not a legal argument for what you've got. That is a total political speech. And you're the Supreme Court Justice. Like, he's terrible. Whenever Republicans bitch and moan about activist judges, I'm like, Roy Moore is an active, but they would never use him as an example, but I'm like, the job he's got is not the job that he wants. He's just totally been making everything political. You really do not hear a legal argument come out of him whenever he's talking about this stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It's all moral.
With Trump and Hillary and their race, I mean, what's your predictions? I mean, I know we're going to be in for a fun 6 months. I think the next 6 months are going to be fun. I'm sure we'll see Trump make a jackass out of himself on a daily basis, but is there anything you think we should be on the lookout for?
I mean, for me, I think the most interesting thing will be who they're going to pick as their running mate. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm looking out for. I don't think there's anything that Trump can do that'll surprise me. I don't think Hillary's going to really change her messaging. I think she's going to stay the same course. You know, we've said it before, she's not the sexiest candidate. So, I mean, she's not going to be somebody that's going to get real excited about. But who's going to be Hillary? Anything that's going to surprise me coming out of her. I think the thing I'm looking for most is who they're going to pick as their running mate.
Well, since we do every fifth episode, we usually look into the future. I'm sure that'll be 25. We'll probably I mean, I don't want to commit to anything so far ahead of time, because within 5 weeks, Trump, he might have a sex tape with Sarah Palin or something that we have to talk about. God only knows with this unpredictable race, but like, I'm sure we'll have an episode about who the VPs will be. They kind of have different problems. Hillary's got too many people to choose from. She's got about six really strong candidates that she could pick. And Trump has nobody who actually wants it to be his socialist. Like, I mean, you've had so many people be like, I wouldn't take the job. No, I won't consider it. With Hillary, it's like there's so many people who want it. I even heard last week, believe the fucking nuts on this guy, Bernie, being like, even Bernie's trying to float his name out there as much. I'm like, I try not to bring him up as much anymore, because I thought that only feeds the beast, you know, like the more you bring him up, the more he won't go away. But with Trump, though, I mean, you're right. I could see him coming in there and be like, Caitlyn Jenner, she's my running mate. We're going to make history together. Here's Carrot Top or something. Like, he could pick anybody. He said he wants somebody political. He could be like, well, Carrot Top's practically the mayor of Las Vegas. I mean, he's going to be, you know, so I could just see him. He can pick anybody. What do you think he's going to do next week? What stupid things or scandals or, like, dumb stuff is going to come out of his mouth next week?
I don't know. I mean, anything. There is nothing that I... there's nothing that he could do that I wouldn't be surprised about. So trying to predict what he's going to do, I have no idea.
I know Hillary's strategy is going to just be, I think if she had a stronger candidate, her strategy would be, you know, appeal to women, really go after Pennsylvania and Florida and Virginia, really hit the swing states. I feel like if she had a stronger candidate, that would be her strategy. But Hillary's strategy at this point is probably just like show up and say, do you really want Trump to be president? And then go home. And that could be dangerous. I mean, the Democrats don't need to be too arrogant, because people punish hubris. But I feel like Hillary's strategy at this point is probably like, it's probably going to change a lot since Trump is the nominee. Like, if it were anybody else, I think I know what it would be. But against Trump, she'll either probably like phone it in and kind of go through the motions and just be like, yeah, I can't wait till this is over with so I can become president. She might use it as an opportunity to like really go after congressional seats and be like, let's win back some of these so that when I do become president, like, it's going to be easier to get stuff done. So she might devote even more time to Senate and congressional races since hers is not going to be as competitive.
Yeah, I could see her doing that.
They had an electoral map, and it said that a lot of states that have not been competitive for Democrats in years are now within play for like, when it's Hillary Trump, they said Utah's in play for Hillary. I mean, Utah, because they, for some reason, Utah just hates Trump's guts. I'm not really sure what it is about Trump that they just absolutely hate. I mean, you'd think a guy who's been married 3 times. I mean, you know, you'd think Utah could get behind that. I think Utah will go for Trump just because Hillary's a woman and they're just not going to pick a woman president. But Utah's very conservative. Extremely conservative.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that they're going to pick Hillary Clinton. I think if it was somebody else, I think if like Martin O'Malley and Trump, I think they would go for O'Malley, but I think Hillary's a woman. So I think it'll go to Trump, but I think Utah is going to have, you're going to see record low turnout. You're going to see pitiful turnout. Probably. But they said Utah's in play. Arizona is definitely, but they said Arizona will probably not even be close. Like, that Hillary will probably beat him, like, pretty by substantial margins. And then, like, all of the swing states, like, all of them, not just Virginia and Florida, where Hillary does pretty well, but, like, Missouri, Iowa, New Hampshire, like, all of them are in play. And then they even said that, like, there's an outside chance of some of the deep south, like, not just Virginia and North Carolina, but, like, maybe Tennessee, maybe Arkansas, maybe even Mississippi. And I'm like, damn, if Hillary got even one of those, but especially Mississippi, round of applause. I mean, that's a round of applause right there. I mean, that's like, wow. The one state that everybody says Trump's going to get to Alabama. It's not just that Alabama is going to go for whoever's the Republican. Like, they actually really, really like Trump. Like, he's actually like their guy. Like, they would rather have him than anybody else who ran.
Which is ridiculous.
What do you think Trump's, like, he's got a tough road ahead for the general election. What's his chance?
Yeah, he does. I say it's walking back some of the things that he's been saying in the primaries, but then again, it is Trump. You kind of saw that with the whole I love Hispanic taco bowl, but, you know, what's he going to do next? Is he going to, like, go to a hair salon and get his hair done and say, I love women?
I think if Trump if he doesn't pick Kasich, I think he'll probably pick a female running mate for VP because he's kind of got to.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many questions about, like, Kasich makes sense because of Ohio or whatever. If he looks at the polling, because Trump's not an idiot. I mean, Trump is an idiot in many ways. Trump is a complete moron, but he's savvy enough to look at the polling. He looks at numbers like nobody else. That's what makes him and Hillary so interesting because they both really like numbers. You know, like the Clintons famously polled, like, where should they take their vacations? And they would, when they got that dog, they were like, what color dog should it be? You know, and they poll everything. And Trump's the same way. So I wind up being a pretty good race because you'll have two, like, basically people who look at a lot of numbers and they're really, like, savvy in that way. But Trump's going to look at it and be like, Kasich is not that popular in Ohio. And if he can't guarantee me Ohio, I really should pick a woman because there's just so many negatives of me and women. Or he might look at it and be like, well, if I pick a woman as VP and then women are at all persuaded by that, they'd probably go with Hillary because it's like, why would we pick a female vice president when we can have a female president? So
that's true.
It's tough for him. His real accomplishment is becoming the Republican nominee. What he had to do to become it may have boxed him out of a general election.
Yeah. If he's smart, he would try walking some of it back, but I can't see him doing it.
Well, he might also look at it and be like, well, if I walk any of this stuff back about immigrants, for every Hispanic vote it gets me, it'll lose me 100 of the Trump people that I really need. Like, there's that famous stat that back in 2012, for Mitt Romney to have become president, he would have had to do 30 points better with Hispanic voters, but he would have only had to do 2 points better with white voters.
Yeah.
So I think Trump, he's going to look at that. I pretty much know Trump's strategy. I think he's going to ignore all this stuff because he's going to look at the Romney numbers and all this and be like, Republicans have been trying to get Hispanic voters for a long time and it's never worked out. He goes, instead of trying to get them, I'm going to go after these untapped, like, white voters that usually just don't vote. They usually just stay at home. What really killed Mitt Romney, people can talk about Hispanic voters and black voters. He could have lost every Hispanic and black voter in America. What killed Mitt Romney was women, and it was white women that just did not vote for him at all. Really, Mitt Romney, the only group he won was white men. Even if Trump did, like, 10 points better with white men than Romney does, even if he's able to do that, he can't lose women by the same numbers. And right now, he's scheduled to lose women by even worse numbers. Like, it's even going to be worse than Romney Obama. If I were his campaign manager, I would just drink champagne and you'd be like, wow, we won the nomination. But I honestly don't know what he could do to win the general.
I don't either. Hillary is going to have to end up in prison over these stupid email scandals.
Trump is an idiot about many things, but he is savvy when it comes to politics. Like, not the actual governing, but, like, the media aspect of running for a race. He's very savvy about that stuff. He was Lion Ted and Low Energy Jeb. Hillary's already become corrupt Hillary. Every tweet I've seen about her is corrupt Hillary, corrupt Hillary.
If he was really savvy, it'd be corrupt Clinton.
Yeah.
I don't want to give him any ideas, but...
Well, you know he's going to be like, that's good, I like that. I like that. You should sue him. Be like, he needs to pay me for my coinage of that or something. Yeah, Trump would be on the frivolous lawsuit into something. But he practices this thing that I talk about. When you say something once, people don't hear you. When you say something 10 times, they begin to hear you. He does that. He'll repeat something over and over. He does that, and Bernie does that. Hillary doesn't do that as much because I feel like Hillary's like, well, black voters are smart, and they don't want to be told the same thing over and over. Like, they want nuanced, and they want intelligent. I feel like Hillary almost gets bored saying the same thing over and over and over again, and so she fixes it up a little bit just because she's like, well, they want details and they want, like, information and they want this, and Trump's like, no, we're just going to hammer this message over and over and over. And it's real interesting to see, like, who they pick up. I think whenever they say Trump, it's a lot of independent voters and a lot of moderate voters and a lot of what used to be known as, like, low information voters, and they're saying Trump, he's getting people to vote but they've never voted before, and I'm like, yeah, I bet he is. Like, I bet he does get a lot of your more casual voters, people who don't really show up that much and vote in general. Like, they just kind of are barely paying attention to what's going on. And I think Hillary may get more of your hardcore politicos, people like us that really follow it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, it'll be interesting. I can't wait for episode 21. Every week, something new. Michael, what's your web address for us?
It's blueinalabama.wordpress.com.
Go shoot from the alabamaliberal.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Join us again next time.